We have been, and I told Hannah before you left for college that we'd still be on this passage when you came back to visit, so here we are. We have been looking at Acts. Does she look smarter, by the way? She's been away now. 2 weeks, have you been at school? Yeah, so 2 weeks, and wow. Glad you're here. Glad each of you are here today. Be praying for folks that are traveling this weekend. We've got a number of people who are away, so ask the Lord's traveling mercies on them. But we have been in this passage now for 4 weeks, looking at Acts chapter 7 and verse 39 specifically about the Israelites. Stephen has been giving to the religious leaders who have brought him into question about his actions. And he has been giving them a history lesson. Not because they didn't know about Israel's history, but because they were forgetting the fact that through Israel's history, their heart has always turned away from God. It has always been wayward. It has always been rebellious. And so Stephen has been going through this, and in this particular passage, he's camping on a moment in referring to Moses and the wandering of the Israelites in the wilderness. And he's reminding these religious leaders about the fact that for a period of time, even under the leadership of Moses, that they rejected him, and in their hearts, they had turned back to Egypt. And so over these weeks, we have been investigating what that means. There is a word that is found in advertisements, music, insurance, medicine, and even in the judicial system. So you take a look at each of those different areas and you wonder what in the world could each of those things have in common? It is that they each have in some way a desire to bring about a cure for something. There's one advertisement I read that claimed to be a cure for acne and another one for anti-aging. It's local. It's down in the Troy area. It is called Pure Laser. And so if you're interested, you can call them up today for an appointment. They claim that through their products and treatments that there is a cure for the aging process. And it comes about by a daily regimen of course, using their products. But they guarantee a cure. A company in Pennsylvania known as The Cure can help you with your auto insurance needs. Some of you from the 70s and 80s will remember that there was the English rock band The Cure, known especially for their gothic kind of music. And so they were part of the alternative rock genre. There's another group called Citizens United for Research in Epilepsy, or another one, Citizens United for Rehabilitation of Errants. They all have the acronym CURE. Many cities for a number of years around our country host, and some of you have participated in a run or a walk for the CURE. A number of years ago, shortly after my grandfather was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, I ran a race that was one of the sponsors was Alzheimer's Association, and they were seeking to raise awareness as well as money to find a cure for Alzheimer's disease. And I had a plaque that was, or somebody had embroidered for me to wear, remembering Grandpa because he can't remember. And so they're raising awareness because they want to find a cure. We are a people fixated on cures of all kinds for all kinds of things, all the while neglecting the very root of why we need to have a cure in the first place. We neglect to see that the real cause of aging or disease or the need for a judicial system at all is because of our sin nature that has been passed on from the beginning of time when Adam and Eve on that dreadful day made the decision to wander from obedience to God and choosing their own path. Now, I want to say that getting saved isn't going to take care of the wrinkles or the fact that other things might be able to be helped. But salvation is the cure for a wayward heart. And today we're going to talk a little bit more about that. We've taken several weeks to look at the wayward heart. We choose to wander from God because we choose not to believe God. And so we believe our own way. And so the cause of a wayward heart, we found out that first week, is unbelief. The cause of a wayward heart is unbelief. So if our heart is wayward to begin with, what does it do? How does it work? What is it? How does it reveal itself? And so we considered that there were three conditions. First, the heart is deceitful. Above all else, it's desperately wicked. And according to one translation, it's beyond cure. In its current condition, it is hopeless. And in ourselves, or if it were up to us, we have no hope of anything different, of having it change. So it's deceitful. Another condition we looked at was that it's rebellious. It's always looking at ways to rebel against God. Read any newspaper or watch any news channel and we get the firsthand look at how rebellious our heart really is. And so it's not only deceitful and rebellious, we also found, thirdly, that the condition of the heart is that it's depraved. It has the capacity to do some shocking and very gruesome things. We hear in the news of some terrible event that was committed by an individual, and we wonder how on earth it could happen. How could somebody stoop so low? How could they sink so low in doing that kind of egregious activity? And yet, it's our nature, because it's depraved. The condition of the heart is only evil continually. So, what then is to be done with a heart that is wayward? And last week we noted in our time together that the curse for a wayward heart is that it's damned. If there's nothing that can be done for a wayward heart, a heart that is without God, a heart that is rebellious, a heart that is deceitful, a heart that is depraved, then without any hope, the condition and the curse is that we'll spend eternity in hell. Death comes both physically and, more importantly, spiritually. Jesus spoke of a place of eternal torment for that person who has not sought a cure for its current condition. And so we noted that hell is a real place. It's populated by real people for the purpose of eternal punishment on those who have rejected God and His plan of restoring them from His dismal condition of sin. Sin will be punished, and its duration will be the same as that of those who will experience eternal life. There isn't annihilation, as some believe, that after a period of time you just cease to exist. The experience of hell is real and it's eternal, just as the experience of heaven is eternal for those who by faith have sought the cure for it. No one is without excuse. Everyone has sinned, and therefore everyone in that condition is under the curse, under the penalty, but there is a cure for those who seek it. Back in December, I had been experiencing some pain, and so I went to the doctor, and he said to me, as he evaluated what I was describing, he told me my condition. He told me the cause. He told me if I didn't do something about it, the curse that would eventually continue. But he told me that there was a cure. And so I went through that process of having that gallbladder removed. You remember it was back in January. No, you don't. I do. We can know the cause of a wayward heart. We can know the condition of a wayward heart. We can know that there is a curse for a wayward heart. More importantly, Scripture teaches us that there's a cure for a wayward heart. And so we want to take a look at that today. It's good news to the lost and the dying soul. It's good news for the one who seeks to be healed. If there wasn't a cure, why would God go through the... Why would He give us the Bible if there wasn't a cure? Is it just to read it and to see what we could have had we not chosen and screwed things up by sinning. But more importantly, I think that Scripture has been given to show us that there is a way out of the curse that is on those who have a wayward heart. And so we're going to take a look today at the cure for a wayward heart. And there's a key, and it's for the lost condition. It's an acrostic, and I'm going to give you five things that will cure a wayward heart. The word cure, according to Webster's dictionary, means to be healed, to be restored to a former condition, to seek medicine or treatment for restoring health. The word suggests an elimination of a disease, that there is some remedy for the ailment that we have. And the Bible provides a remedy, a cure for the thing that we call sin. And so five things, and you can write it down if you want, and it's going to be very simple, F-A-I-T-H, and that spells what? F-A-I-T-H. Faith. Faith is a cure for the wayward heart. We noted in our first time together on this passage that the cause of a wayward heart is unbelief. Choose to ignore the truth of God's word, and so choose to believe a lie, and that becomes unbelief in what God has given to us. If unbelief is a cause for a wayward heart, then belief or faith is the cure for a wayward heart. I'd like you to turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 15. It is very plainly written for us. And so in your acrostic, if you're taking notes, and the first letter is F, I want to suggest to you that faith is that word that we need to have, that is necessary to cure a wayward heart. Acts 15 and verses 8 and 9 says this, God, who knows the heart, showed that He accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as He did to us. He made no distinction between us and them, for He purified their hearts by what? Faith. By faith. He made them clean. Speaking here about the difference between the Jews and the Gentiles, that there is none, that both need to have a wayward heart made pure again by faith. Now, faith is a cure for a wayward heart. But faith in what or in whom? Can I have faith in myself? Can I have faith in my good deeds or my good looks as a way of securing what we seek? Can I have faith in giving to the poor or to some other worthy cause? Can I have faith in my status, who I am or what I've accomplished in the world? Can I have faith in my academic accolades, all the things that I have achieved? Can I have faith in the knowledge I have gained through research? Can I have faith in any of those kinds of things? And the answer is yes, I can. And many people do. Many people put all their proverbial eggs in those things that I have just explained and say, this is what we're pinning our hopes on in an effort to gain heaven. And so, yes, we can have faith in those things. But Scripture reminds us that there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death or destruction. So I can put my hope in all of what I do or all of who I am or all of what I have achieved and come to the end of the day and find out that it has gotten me nowhere. Paul would write to the Philippians and he would explain to them that in retrospect on all the things that he had achieved as a Pharisee, all of the schooling he had accomplished, the position that he held in the ranks of the Pharisees as being among the tops of the achievements that he had accomplished. And at the end of the day, he told the Philippians that all of that I consider as nothing, worthless, without hope. He had found in a meeting with Christ himself that in Jesus revealing to him that he was without the Savior, All the things that he had hoped would gain eternal life for him, he found were worthless. And so we can put all our hopes in those things and find out at the end of the day that they will get us nowhere. You're still in Acts 15. Notice again, God who knows the heart showed that he accepted them by giving them the Holy Spirit to them just as he did to us. He made no distinction between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of the disciples a yoke that neither we nor our fathers have been able to bear? No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that we are saved just as they are. Faith. Faith in Christ is the one through whom we gain a cure for a wayward heart. We must believe that through his death, his burial, and his resurrection, he bought for us what we could not buy for ourselves. He gave to us what we could not earn on our own, eternal life, a cure. We seek it in all those things, don't we? We seek it in trying to achieve, and it gets us nowhere. And it is only by faith, this passage in Acts is telling us. To the Corinthians, Paul reminded them that in the gospel that Christ died for our sins. Turn over to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Here it is, Paul's words, verse 7. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own. Underline that. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God. It is by faith. If you know Ephesians 2:8-9, would you recite it with me? For by grace are you saved through faith, and it not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's a good one to commit to memory, to stick in the old noodle. Because it reminds us, as Paul was suggesting to the Philippians, that there isn't anything that I can do. It's not in my own self-righteousness. It's not in who I am, but through Jesus Christ alone. Faith is a cure for a wayward heart. It's plain as day. It is all throughout Scripture, as it consistently reminds us that only faith is the way. Faith in Christ is a way to have a cure for a wayward heart. 1 John 5 tells us that it's as simple as being written down, whoever has the Son has what? Has life. And it comes by faith. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, Jesus is saying, trust, faith, belief, it's all in Christ. Turn to Acts 16:31. Acts 16 and verse 31. Paul and Silas have been in prison. An earthquake comes. Prison doors are miraculously taken off their hinges. The jailer's about ready to kill himself, and Paul hollers to him not to, and he comes and falls down before Paul and Silas, who have been singing in the prison cell there, and he says, what must I do to be saved? And their response is, believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Faith. Faith for the cure for a wayward heart. If I go to the doctor because I don't feel good, and he gives me a prescription because I have some infection, and he tells me to take 2 pills a day, and I go home and I set that prescription bottle on the counter, and I choose not to take it, it's not going to do anything for the cure that I've sought from the doctor. And it's no different than when we go and ask, how can I have a cure for a wayward heart? And I find in Scripture that it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And I do nothing with it. The cure has already been provided. We celebrate that in communion by remembering His death through the bread and the cup. And so here it is that I have the prescription for a cure for a wayward heart. And I need to do what? Believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ dying on the cross doesn't save me until by faith I believe it and trust Him and ask Him to save. Because otherwise, what's the point of faith? If Jesus died for everybody and everybody's going to heaven just because Jesus died for them, I don't need faith. I need to believe that the sacrifice He made for me on the cross took away my sin, that He died in my place. And I need to believe that. I need to trust Him in that. Not that in something else, but Him alone. People want to add all kinds of things. We were talking in our Sunday school group this morning about how some people want to add baptism as a way to additionally secure that somebody could go to heaven. The Judaizers in Paul's day wanted to say, believe in Jesus plus practice rites and the traditions of Judaism. They wanted to add to it. Paul is saying, there's only one way. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. You might remember this song, many of you. And now the end is here, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear. I'll state my case of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full. I've traveled each and every highway and more, much more than this. I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do and saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Frank Sinatra goes through that song and he tells about how he did everything his way. But at the end of the day, his way is not the Lord's way, and there is no cure by doing it my way. We need to have faith. There's only one way. And that's through Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, at the moment of salvation, I become a new creation. I've been changed into something new. And there ought to be a different scene in that change because of what Christ has done in my life. We trust God that He'll do what He says, bringing about this incredible change in us that cures the wayward heart and prepares it. God can't have sin in His presence, so we can't be in the presence of God in our current condition, so we need a cure. And Christ came and gave us that cure so that we can stand in the presence of God. Anybody say amen on that? Because that's how I'm getting there. I don't know about you. I hope you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way. Faith. A. So F is faith. We need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. A is to admit sin. Admitting sin is necessary for curing a wayward heart. I'd like you to turn back to Psalms. Psalm 51. We all know 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. James 5:16, we are to confess our sins to one another and pray one for another so that we might be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man does great things. Psalm 51, verse 10 and 17, tell us this. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Drop down to verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We need to confess our sins. We need to admit them. Faith knows forgiveness because we believe that God forgives us of sin and cleanses us from our unrighteous deeds. We need to have hearts that are broken over sin with the intention of putting it out of our life. And that's what Paul speaks about when he reminds us that we should take off the old nature with its desires and put on a new nature. I believe that a heart that does not admit sin and confess it is a heart that is on the brink of unbelief, a heart that doesn't care, a heart that will become, in a sense, and eventually, wayward. That's part of the reason we have communion. Paul speaks about it in 1 Corinthians 12, about the need that when we come to communion, we ought to have a time of confession to make sure that when we take the bread and the juice, we're doing so with a heart that is clean before Him. A heart that has confessed, that has admitted those sins. And so we need to come to the Lord in confession. We need to admit sin. The third thing that we should look at is the indwelling Holy Spirit is necessary for the cure for a wayward heart. Turn with me to Romans 8. I'm having you jump around because these verses are so essential in helping us understand the importance that beginning with faith and that there are other things that are necessary for us to have a cure for a wayward heart begins with faith, and these other aspects are also important. Romans 8, 26 and 27, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words can't express. And He who searches our what? Our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with His will. At the end of the passage in Ephesians 6, where Paul writes to them and says, put on the full armor of God, there is in that section that we rely on the Holy Spirit, verse 18. The Holy Spirit is essential for us as part of a cure for the wayward heart. And He's been given not only as a seal, Ephesians 4:30. It says that He is our guarantee that in the moment we trust Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in and He is part of that cure. He is part of ensuring that when God comes and looks at us, He says, you can be in My presence. The Holy Spirit is that seal. When by faith we trust God for His gift of salvation, the Holy Spirit has been given to us. He will never rescind that offer. His reputation for being unchanging will never be brought into question. What He says, He's going to do. And so the Holy Spirit has been given as that guarantee, and as an indwelling Spirit, He makes sure that God will fulfill what He has said He will do. We've been studying Philippians 1:6 on Wednesday night. He who began a good work in you will continue to perform it until the day of Christ. When the point of salvation begins all the way until Christ returns, there is that work in which God is going to fulfill His work of you that began when you trusted Christ as Savior by faith. But that's not enough. The indwelling Holy Spirit is also there to help us in our daily life. To help us in that journey when we come across circumstances and temptations that are too tough for us. We go to the Holy Spirit, who is that aid, that comfort, that help to ensure that we make it through it. But we need to yield to Him. Clay doesn't say to the potter, you know, I'm not liking what you're doing with me right now. I want you to make me this way. He doesn't have the capacity or the will to say to the master, the maker of that piece that he's working on, the wheel. He just submits totally to the hands of the master. If the clay had the capacity to, in some way, inject its thoughts and its will on the part of the master, I don't think it could become the beautiful pot or urn. It couldn't be as useful as what the Master intends. And so I think as well for us, when we yield to the Holy Spirit working in us, then we are able to become much more beautiful than we otherwise might be if we didn't yield to the work of the Holy Spirit. We need to allow Him the opportunity to do His work in us. When in our heart we are tempted to turn back to Egypt, to take the easy road, to give into our old self and wrong desires, the Holy Spirit can't function. It becomes two opposing forces at work and will yield to one, not to both. He will help us to keep our focus and our heart on the Lord. So we have faith. We need to admit sin. We need to rely on the Holy Spirit. Now let's consider that we also must have thankfulness as a part for a cure for a wayward heart. Turn to Romans 1. Romans 1. In verse 21. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Philippians 2 tells us that we shouldn't complain about anything. I believe that a heart that is continuing to complain can't be a heart that's thankful. It can't be a heart that's filled with joy because we're always focused on the negative. We're always thinking about things other than being thankful about what the Lord has given to us. An unthankful heart is a heart that is always looking back to Egypt. Instead of being thankful that her life was going to be spared, Lot, his wife, had her heart set on the city behind her, and she lost her life. She should have been grateful that the Lord had spared her. It was through the intervention of Abraham, you remember, in that encounter, and that the angels were sent to bring Lot and his family out, and rather than being thankful, her heart was still back in the city. Psalm 92 and verse 1 says, It is good to praise the Lord and to make music to your name, O Most High. Psalm 105 and verse 1, give thanks to the Lord, call on His name, make known among the nations what He has done. Repeated numerous times is this phrase found in Psalm 106 and verse 1. Praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. And then in Psalm 150, it says this, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. In Psalm 150, everything that has breath should praise the Lord. Do you have a thankful heart? That's part of the cure for a wayward heart. Romans tells us that these people who were unthankful, God gave them over. Gave them over to a reprobate, a depraved mind. So we need to have faith. We need to admit sin. We need to have the indwelling Holy Spirit. And we need to be thankful. And the last H, our final point, is that we need to have humility. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. The end of the chapter there, verses 28 to 30. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In Philippians chapter 2, you'll notice that passage in verses 3 through 11 that speak about the humility of Christ. Paul is encouraging us to have the same, let that mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So we need to have a humble spirit. A heart that is humble believes that the Lord can help him through life events that seem to overburden and overwhelm it. A heart that is tired from life's cares comes by faith to the one who will carry those burdens so that we can have rest. A humble heart admits that it needs help. A humble heart asks for help. A humble heart seeks help from the Lord, beginning with salvation and with all the other life struggles that come along. It does so by faith. A faith that saves, a faith that secures, a faith that sanctifies, and a faith that surrenders. That's what humility is about. Putting others before yourself, allowing the Holy Spirit to be the one to lead you. Only God can cure a wayward heart. So how is your heart today? Does it need help? Is it broken? Are there things that only the Lord can do, that by faith, trusting in Him, that He can provide for you? It begins with simple faith in trusting that the Lord is the only one who can provide for salvation. The cure for the destination that we otherwise would have if it weren't for Christ working in us. There's a cure for a wayward heart. Don't let the world pull your heart away from God as it did the Israelites, who in their hearts turned back to Egypt. God has so much more, so much better for us if we will only by faith trust Him. And so let me encourage you this morning to let the divine surgeon do His work. He will direct our paths so that we don't wander. Let's pray. We come before You, Father, to thank You that You have given to us a cure for a wayward heart. And it is through Your Son, Jesus Christ, and not just for salvation, but for every day of our lives as we submit to Your work in us, yielding to Your Spirit, that we resist doing the things of the old nature and instead desire to do the things that are in obedience to You. And so we thank You. We thank You that You have given us this cure, and it's found in Your Word, and it is by faith. And so I ask that as we search our own hearts, that we will know for certain we have received that cure by faith in Your Son. And that we will continue to admit sin. We will rely on the indwelling Holy Spirit. We will be a people noted for our thanksgiving to You. And that we will also have hearts that are humble before You. So we come in faith. And now as we gather around this table, we remember what Christ has done for us. And we give You thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. We could have someone go get the